Ken Laban's our go-to guy on Monday mornings, talking sport. He's always got neat things to say and share. Thanks for your time again. It's the Tukana, Ken. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale. Yes, on the series of missteps, there's been a few this weekend, hasn't there?
Yeah, it would seem, Ken. Thanks for picking up on that. But they're calling for Foster's head. You'll have your thoughts here. What I'm reading into it is this has been a grueling tour. We always expect the All Blacks to win. And you know, sometimes you've got to just pay tribute to the attitude that other teams you're playing against the best in the world take to the table. We can't win every time, can we? But what would you say? Do you want to get rid of Foster as well?
Well, they reappointed him in August. So they're now not going to sack him in November. So it's just talk. They finished the season 12-3. But the abiding memory that everybody's always has is the most recent ones, obviously. So the loss against France and the loss against Ireland are the memories that will stay in the mind, and the doubts will form, obviously, over whether that gap can be overcome between now and seemingly the next World Cup, which now seems to be the measure of planning cycles with regard to international rugby, now that the World Cups have such a massive influence on the sport. There is a genuine case for concern over the All Blacks' inability up front to match it against Ireland and in France, who looked to be, they were not looked to be, they were. They were more aggressive, they were more competitive, and surprisingly, they were also more inventive than the All Blacks. These are areas where previously the All Blacks have set a benchmark worldwide and been able to achieve some separation between them and their opponents. And what we've seen, certainly on this tour, and especially the last two tests, is that they not only have they been matched up front, they've been beaten up front. And obviously that's going to raise all sorts of conjecture and all sorts of talk. That's what being a passionate sports fan is all about, having your say and having your opinion. And when the All Blacks lose, there's always talk of it's time to get rid of the coach. But when the All Blacks lose as bad as they did in the last couple of games, then obviously that heat can get a little bit warmer for Ian Foster. So he's got a summer to contemplate. And then obviously 2022, which is one year ahead of 2023 World Cup in France, where they play France first up, the All Blacks. So there are some interesting challenges that lie ahead for the All Blacks. And of course, there's a lot of debate around over this All Black stand down and rest, which is doing the rounds at the moment, with some suggestions that some key All Blacks are going to be missing for up to 6 weeks of the Super Rugby competition. And Scott Robertson, who's favoured to be the next All Black coach, and of course that's where all, you know, there's a lot of support for Scotty to be introduced to the position now, but he's not going to be, given that Foster was reappointed in August. But just going back to the absence of Super Rugby players, that's going to raise a very interesting talking point. So, you know, for those in our audience that are listening today, that pay for their Sky Sports subscriptions, when they watch the NBA, they expect to see LeBron James. When they watch the NFL, they expect to see Tom Brady. When they watch the NRL, they expect to watch, you know, the world-class players and Nathan Cleary and Viliami Kikau and all those kinds of kids that entertain us every week. But from a Super Rugby perspective, they're not going to see key All Blacks for up to 6 weeks. So what does that say about the integrity of the relationship between Sky Sports subscribers and the company that you and I work for occasionally, Dale? What does that say for the fans who buy their season tickets in the expectation that they're going to see the best players play and they're going to see the best team play and they expect to get value for the money that they buy? And what does that also say about sponsors that put big money into sport? So it's a debate that I'm looking forward to hearing over the coming months. I personally think it's a poor decision to take marquee players out, and Scott Robertson himself has used the expression franchise player, which is what we used to hearing, and that was his description of Richie Moonga. And for those Crusaders or those rugby fans who might have an interest in statistics, the Crusaders are 61-5 with Moonga on the park. So it's 92% wins over losses when he's on the park. And as you well know, that those were the numbers that you could attribute to Cooper Cronk. They were the same numbers you could attribute to, you know, in his heyday down Lockyer and players of those sort of quality and class. So, you know, I would have thought based on the disappointment of their end of season tour just completed yesterday, that the more hard gains we can put into these players, the better it's going to be for their footy.
Thanks for the stat too. It's interesting, and I love the way you wove that in. It does illustrate something quite strong too. And hey, who gets holidays for losing? That's the reality too. Playing in those big stadia over there too with the passionate crowds, I mean, sometimes perhaps we expect our national team to be the best in the world all the time, the home ground advantage comes to play as well. But we were just outgunned here. The decision to elevate an assistant seems at times short-sighted, doesn't it? And while Hansen had a particular style about him, you can see elements of it in Foster's way he deals with the media, but they're different men altogether. And I just wonder whether, you know, because you've been sitting beside somebody, you you know, you necessarily get to take the reins. I remember who was the Reese the Hooker from Penrith years ago who went on to coach. Anyway, his name's gone out of my head. Someone asked me, he says, you know, what the difference between a assistant coach and a head coach is. He says, I say to them, oh, about 200 grand. But anyway, it's, can you remember him? He was the hooker when Penrith won in the early 90s. Was it Reece someone?
Yes. Was he the captain?
He was the captain, yeah.
I heard him speak. There was a thing with Mark Geyer, and his name does escape me. Yeah. That was a terrific side, wasn't it? Greg Alexander was in that team, Mark Geyer.
Yeah.
Was in that team. Yes, well, they are very different characters. Steve Hansen was a brute. He's tough, uncompromising, unrelenting, put unbelievable pressure on the senior players, including Richie McCaw and Sam Whitelock, and a number of the All Blacks have told me that when anything went wrong in the All Blacks, and when Steve Hansen was upset about something that happened at training, he said, "If you were a junior, if you were a junior All Black, you were in a relatively safe place because you weren't gonna get the treatment." He said, "But if you were a senior player, if you were a leader, if you were part of the leadership group, the pressure that he would place under you and the personal blame that he would attribute to you for decisions that are that were made that went wrong," he said, "there was just absolutely no compromise." You know, a lot of people tell me that by comparison, Ian Foster's a much more measured character, and that's good. Everybody's got their own style and got their own personality, but Steve Hansen walked away with 89.9%, closer to 90% win-loss record, the greatest international coaching record of all time. So, you know, who's to say one's a preference over the other? And at the moment, Ian Foster's looking at back-to-back losses with plenty of thinking to do in terms of trying to get New Zealand back towards the top end of the game, because nobody sees them as a top team in the world at the moment, having lost back-to-back games to Ireland and France in the last 2 weeks.
Thanks, Ken, always. Royce Simmons, I think was his name. Now it comes back to me.
Name Royce.
It wasn't Reece at all. But I see Hansen's involved with the Dogs, and so's Phil Gould. Jeez, they've been doing a bit of shopping, haven't they? I see they've got Viliami Kiko for 2023 as well. So, you know, a team that came last, certainly making some plays with the big shots, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. My understanding is that they're cash rich as well, being able to offload their players and sort their salary cap out much the same way that the Broncos have gone through a painful process in the last year or so as well, with a terribly lopsided salary cap, with a whole lot of money spent in the wrong areas. And once they get right, the Bulldogs, of course, with a phenomenal following in Sydney, and if they were to emerge again like the great teams of the past, won't that be fantastic for the NRL? And I can't see them standing Viliamikiki down for 6 weeks to have a rest.
Nor can I. Big ups to the Bear, who's listening in today too, over there in New South Wales, just out of Newcastle. Our mate the Bear. Good on you, Ken. Thanks a lot.
Got a bit.
Okay. Ken Laban, wonderful commentator of sports. And you're listening to Pākehi Waha, where Māori kaupapa is always.